World events, national headlines, and local news that affects you most. The Steph Lucas Show is on.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Steph Lucas Show. As far as Idaho goes, we're going to be talking about Idaho gifts in just a moment here. I also have a rundown for the rest of the show. We're going to go over the fallout of this leak of the Roe versus Wade overturn draft. Of course, was put out by Politico. There's obviously been a lot of developments over the last 24 hours. I'll tell you about some of those all across the country and right here in Idaho. We also have an interview coming up this hour with Sherry Few. Sherry Few is founder and president of United Parents Involved in Education. We're actually going to be talking about the Roe versus Wade decision, how that's affected public schooling over the last 50 years. She's got the rundown on that. And then during the 5 o'clock hour, well, I do have that straightened out. We're going to get to it, but I have a couple interviews on the way of people running for local office. So we'll do that during the 5 o'clock hour. Talk about some other stories happening across the country. Dave Chappelle was attacked yesterday. He's fine. However, a man ran up on stage while Dave Chappelle was performing and tackled the man. Like I told you a couple months ago, people are going to start coming for comedians. They're just going up and slapping them now. We'll talk about the causes behind this, but I think you already know. And then, of course, before I forget, we're talking primaries. Yes, here in Idaho, but we're also going to give you the rundown of what happened in Ohio last night. An Ohio candidate won big. We're going to talk about how much he won, what position, what does this mean for primaries coming up all across the country. So that's all on the way on the Steph Lucas Show. Right now, I have two guests with me, and we are going to be discussing Idaho Gives. That's a program of the Idaho Nonprofit Center. It is sponsored by Idaho Central Credit Union. It's taking place this week. Now, donations are being collected from May 2nd through tomorrow, May 5th. So we have another couple days to have you get some money in there. And what's really beneficial, I had one of the organizations explain to me, is that Idaho Central Credit Union can actually sponsor giving prizes, maybe doubling contributions, things like that. So if you're going to give, it's a really excellent week to do so because, well, ICCU is helping out with that, and they do some things to make your donation dollars go further. Joining us now, we have Nora. She's Development Director with the Snake River Animal Shelter. Welcome to the program, Nora.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Great to have you here. We have Clark. He is Executive Director of the Grand Teton Council of the Boy Scouts of America. Hi, Clark.
Hi. Good to be here.
Absolutely. Good to have you here. So, this is going to be fun. We have, of course, the Boy Scouts we're talking about, and then Snake River Animal Shelter. Nora, what area does Snake River Animal Shelter cover?
Well, we are located right here in Idaho Falls, but we are the only nonprofit shelter in eastern Idaho.
Okay.
So we kind of fill an important gap. We worked together with other municipal animal shelters.
Okay.
They often transfer animals to us if they need some extra place to find new homes for their animals. Or we work with nonprofit rescues that don't have shelter capacities themselves. So we take animals really ranging down to Pocatello.
So kind of all over the place.
Yes.
That's good to know. It's great that you work with municipal organizations, especially when they get an overflow, and I understand a lot of overflow happens in the spring and summer, especially.
Yes.
Especially with cats.
Yes, right now, there's the kitty times. We have a few of them at our shelter right now that, still need to grow a little till we can find them a new home. But, it's a good point you're making. That's why we also support spay and neuter initiatives in the region.
Right.
So hopefully this problem won't be as huge in the years to come.
Right. Well, that'll be good to hear about if that actually turns around. I know that some animal shelters do like a spay and release type program with kind of feral cats. So
yeah,
that's
the trap and return. We don't do that, but we work with other organizations. right now on a project to provide free spay and neuter surgeries at the Fort Hall Reservation.
Okay.
Because that has become, unfortunately,
kind of a hot spot for
a dumping ground.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to hear about those programs. And then Clark, of course we know about the Boy Scouts of America, but let's just hear a little bit about the Grand Teton Council. What area does that cover?
We've got all of eastern Idaho, essentially from starting down at Malad all the way up to Salmon, and then east over to, we go up into West Yellowstone, then down through the parks, Jackson, Star Valley.
Well, that's quite a large area.
Yeah, a lot of territory.
Yeah, and of course, Boy Scouts, nonprofit, so obviously donations go a long way. Can we talk about some of the programs for the Boy Scouts in East Idaho, being that we're near Yellowstone? I guess there's some trips up that way as well. What other kind of activities, just in general, are really popular with Boy Scouts of America around here?
We're gearing up for our summer season, which is busy time for us. Day camp for the Cub Scouts out at Scout Hollow north of Rigby, and then our Scout Camp Island Park up in the Island Park area.
Oh,
but
okay.
It's Island Park Scout Camp. But so some great fun activities, and we're working on recruiting more, organizing new units and organizing or recruiting kids into those units.
Okay, so there's room for more Boy Scouts. Where do people learn a little bit more about where to get their kids involved?
Local council office is here in Idle Falls on South Yellowstone, the old Melaleuca building, now the scout office there. But we have, a few years ago, Boy Scouts in the younger programs went co-ed. We've been co-ed for probably over 30 years, but now there's girls in the Cub Scout and the what used to be called Boy Scout program. But anyway, information at the local scout office or tetonscouts.org is our website. But we're looking to get kids involved with the fun of scouting. Getting them out of the house, away from the games and outside on hikes and camping.
Yeah, away from the computer, absolutely. I think, well, of course, I mean, we live in one of the best camping spots on earth, right here in East Idaho, so that's always good to know. Okay, so let's talk about the impact of donations. Now, I had a volunteer with Idaho Falls Community Food Basket make the point that when they have a dollar, they can make that stretch further because there's a nonprofit and they have lots of connections that are able to help out with that. So how does that work out at the Snake River Animal Shelter?
Well, with Idaho Gives, it was great. We had some donors that offered a match. They matched the first $1,000 that were donated, so that basically doubled. We are still a bit away from our goal to raise $15,000 to provide for the basic care of our animals.
But
with the prices and those background support, it's really a great time to give because you have so much more impact.
Right. Well, I think that's great. Now, Clark, this could actually be a good deal for the Boy Scouts. Maybe they could go over and help out at the Snake River Animal Shelter. What are just some of the projects Boy Scouts like to help out with in the community? Is scouting for food still one of them?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely do that in the fall before the holidays. Actually, Scouts are well known for service and many nonprofits in our area, including the animal shelter, get service projects mainly through our Eagle, every Eagle Scout. That's the highest rank you can earn in scouting. But Eagle Scouts, in our council, they average about 100 hours of service. Many of that service has to be provided to either the church, school, or community, and a lot of nonprofits benefit from that. I know I've seen several projects at the animal shelter and other, the Haven, other nonprofits down. So.
Well, that's great. So, really, when people are donating to the Boy Scouts, they're also donating to service programs because the Boy Scouts are helping with that. The really great part about Idaho Gives Week is there's a lot of matching of donations. Idaho Central Credit Union is sponsoring that. So if you want to know more, you just go to the idahogives.org, I believe, and then they could just look up organizations. They can look up Snake River Animal Shelter or Grand Teton Council for the Boy Scouts of America and go ahead and give that donation. So it's just an easy way to get that money in there.
Yep.
All right.
Yes.
Very easy.
Well, thank you so much both for showing up. Been great to have you here and talk about your organizations. And thanks for the good work that you do.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you so much.
it on. You're in the car. You're driving home.
Hit the gas.
Listen.
And drive.
Steering East Idaho back on course. The Steph Lucas Show on KID News Radio 106.3 and 92.1.
Welcome back. Thanks to both my guests here, Nora and Clark. Nora is with Snake River Animal Shelter. Clark with the Grand Teton Council, Boy Scouts of America. We're talking Idaho Gives this week. We're also talking primaries. Told you I should have someone in. 5 o'clock hour to talk about their primary race. Now I can tell you who it is because I have a confirmation that this person is coming in. So let's talk about this. Let me start out by saying, yes, I'm certainly aware of this story. It started about a week and a half ago or so. People were texting me. People were emailing me. They said, Steph, you have to run a story. I'm like, yes, I will run a story on this. It's just me here. Give me a minute, okay? There's lots going on. Then, of course, the whole Roe versus Wade thing. And here we are. Okay, so the story I'm aware of is a representative, Chad Christensen, has made claims that his opponent, Josh Wheeler, actually voted for Joe Biden in the 2020 elections. So here's how we handled that. Reached out to Josh Wheeler for an interview. He, unfortunately, is too busy to come on for an interview. So I thought, okay, well, we're going to interview Chad Christensen. So Chad Christensen is supposed to be in here a little bit after 5 o'clock today to talk about that. Then I'll reach out again and see if Josh Wheeler has a response to it. We'll get Chad's side of it coming up, 5 o'clock hour, on the Steph Lucas Show. Now back to what I was saying. It was dominating a lot of the news cycle. Certainly it still is. Talking about the fact that there's been a leak, a breach of a draft opinion. The Supreme Court of the United States, as per usual, the Democrats, the point goes completely over their heads. Or actually, they just more like ignore it because they want to feign outrage over the idea that states might be able to have some sovereignty and decide about abortion per state. So they're all flipping out. Let's talk about the fallout here. All over the country. Of course, we've had some protests in Idaho, outside the Idaho Capitol. Breitbart News reporting that all over the country, there's an outbreak, or it's heating up, perhaps, is what they're saying. And this is not going to be the final chapter in the nation's most pitched culture battle. Democrats in blue states say they're bracing for a wave of legal attacks and other maneuvers that they say are to undermine access. Some are even taking steps to enshrine abortion in their constitutions, which would make it really difficult to impose a ban in the future. Now, Republican states are expected to ban or restrict abortion. Idaho's already got that going on, that heartbeat Texas-style bill that was passed during this last legislative session. Planned Parenthood currently suing the state of Idaho for that. No surprises there. However, the outcome of the Supreme Court decision could certainly affect the lawsuits of Planned Parenthood over the heartbeat-style bill that was passed and signed by the governor, although he would like to let you know he had his misgivings about it. Moving on, let's talk about states like Pennsylvania and Virginia. Breitbart's reporting the potential to roll back what they're saying is abortion rights has already emerged in states with divided political control, including Pennsylvania and Virginia. Now, California and Colorado are pushing to put abortion as a right in their constitutions. No big surprise there. That's actually a stronger step than passing a law. And then, as I told you yesterday, our neighboring state of Washington, Democratic Governor Jay Inslee, we will not allow the tentacles of Texas to get into Washington state. That's real odd, Jay, because it seems like you're allowing the tentacles of Washington to get into Texas by sending your guys over there to move there and stay. Oh, no, maybe I've heard a complaint or two about that over the last, 5 years or so. Anyway, that's the latest from Breitbart on the fallout. All over the country, let's talk about L.A., shall we? Appeared on Twitter. And I'm going to play this. I'm hoping, basically, it's just the sound of a police cruiser, but this is from last night, downtown LA. Pro-abortion protesters started to get violent with police What happens here, and I can't play this because there's just too many F-words from the left to bleep out, okay? The police go there just for some crowd control. They all, the protesters confront the officers, start chasing him down, and then, well, pro-abortion protesters smash windows in downtown L.A. Here's that clip. Pretty much it. It is happening. You can visualize it. So there's that. A mostly peaceful protest, as CNN would call it. The update on that, coming from the Daily Breeze out of California, says a citywide tactical alert was issued last night after about 250 protesters marched in downtown L.A. and began throwing rocks and bottles at police, and they injured an officer. Now, that tactical alert, of course, was issued in response to that large crowd in downtown L.A. Protest was at Pershing Square area. And, of course, it's because the left is upset over the leaked draft suggesting the Supreme Court could overturn Roe versus Wade. And I told you guys, it's going to happen. Just wait. It's just now heating up. You already have liberals on their own little platforms saying, oh, you thought 2020 was something. Just wait. I'll try and bring that clip up in a little bit. I thought, oh, yeah, no, we're kind of not surprised, dude, that you're making those threats now. Kind of doesn't faze conservatives at this point. We're used to your massive freak out now. Oh, and then you have people like Joy Behar just stirring it up, saying the absolutely, just making the most ridiculous claims. And you're saying, what else is new, Steph? This is Joy Behar, right? I get it. And I don't watch Behar at all because, like I've said before, I would like to retain as many brain cells as possible. I can just feel them, my brain cells just flushing away as I listen to this woman. So I apologize for the loss of your brain cells in advance, but I lost a few listening to this drivel today. So you may as well be on my level, right? Here's Joy Behar saying that the Supreme Court might bring racial segregation back to schools. Let's find that clip. Here it is.
Women in the world have conducted sex strikes in history.
Oh, this is a different one. That's fine. Okay, so she's saying women should go on a sex strike, all right? Well, let's just go ahead and play this because it's funny.
Straight. In 2003, a sex strike helped to end Liberia's brutal civil war. Yes, and the woman who started it was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Yes. In 2009, Kenyan women enforced a sex ban until political infighting ceased. Within 1 week, there was a stable government.
Okay. Wow. Joy Behar is going to pose a sex strike. Your terms are acceptable, Joy. I really don't think that's going to face any. I don't think that's going to have much of an effect on the men in this country, madam. Here's where she says that the Supreme Court could bring back racial segregation in American schools. I'm sorry, you're going to have to lose a few more brain cells.
My worry is that this is just the beginning. Next, they'll go after gay marriage and maybe Brown versus Board of Education.
Yeah.
They already eroded our voting rights a little bit. So I see fascism down the line here. I don't know.
Fascism from the lady who's probably cheering on protesters, burning down cities, businesses, knocking windows out of police cruisers. That's not fascistic at all, Joy, but okay. So there she is saying that the Supreme Court Republicans, you know, apparently we control everything, according to Joy, even though they're guys in the White House, are going to overturn Brown versus Board of Education after Roe versus Wade is overturned. I kid you not. How do we go from Republicans love children, want to save the babies, protect life, to Republicans hate children, they don't want them to get an education? How do those two, they don't even jive together. But there you have Joy, threatening to go on a sex strike. Okay, great. No one cares. Number two, saying that Republicans don't want children of different skin colors to go to the same school. That's, yeah. Coming up on the Steph Lucas Show, we're going to go over some of this with the president and CEO of United Parents for Education, talking about it next on the Steph Lucas Show. Welcome back. Joy Behar. She says a lot of things, including Republicans are going to repeal Brown versus Board of Education. Yeah, so I think that that's not going to happen. Let's have a discussion about education with Sherry Few. Sherry Few is founder and president of United Parents Involved in Education. She's been doing this for over 20 years, and she's been saying for a long time that it's time to end the U.S. Department of Education and all federal education mandates. Now, we were going to talk about critical race theory, and of course, that's you got to be keeping your eye on that for sure. But now the Roe versus Wade decision comes out, and I thought, okay, well, this would be a really good time to talk about what's happening. How did we get to this point? I mean, we go with, you know, sex education in schools, and Dems claimed for years and years that it would prevent the amount of abortions happening in America. I don't believe that's so, but we're going to get to it with Sherry Few. We're also going to talk about the sexualization of children in schools. They're being taught about sexuality at a very young age. Florida made that very apparent when they had to pass the Parental Rights in Education Act, saying, hey, you can't talk about this with K through 3, okay? So we're going to get to it here with Sherry Few, United Parents Involved in Education. Let's talk about where we're at with Roe versus Wade and sexualization of children at very young ages by schools.
Okay, so, you know, for some time, government schools have been teaching sex education to children, and it morphed into sexuality education, which is quite different.
Right.
And, you know, while I believe fundamentally that's a topic that should be left to parents and their faith community, it is a reality, and like I said, for some time, it's been in the schools. But it's become blatantly worse. The further and further we go, every year it gets worse and worse. You know, we've talked about the sexualization of children and how the transgender ideology is being pushed on young children.
Right.
And in many cases, without parental consent, they're being groomed and counseled and given names that are, you know, contrary to their biological sex.
Right, without parents' permission.
Without parents' even knowledge in most cases.
Okay.
So very sad turn of events. But as far as Roe versus Wade, we believe that the sex education in schools is part of the intentional agenda for profit. So we know that the abortion industry is a huge money-making industry. So when Planned Parenthood comes into the schools and teaches children that sex is natural and normal and fine outside of marriage and fine for young people as long as they're quote-unquote protected. And what we end up with is a high rate of adolescent pregnancies, which often end in abortion.
Right.
So it is a money-making industry, so there's profit that motivates it. In addition, the pharmaceutical companies are making tons of money on contraceptives and condoms. So there is the profit incentive. And, you know, the other sad thing about abortion, and I'm not sure how many people know this, I heard Candace Owens talking about it on television last night, is that Planned Parenthood was started by a woman named Margaret Sanger. And she was a eugenicist.
Yes.
And she her whole goal was to eliminate the black race.
Right. There's plenty of letters. Yeah. Well, not plenty, but there are letters to that effect proving that point. Absolutely. I've seen those.
Yes. So motivation behind the abortion industry is evil. And so with Roe, with this possibility of this decision overturning Roe versus Wade, it is a big win for children and families in America.
Right. Now I have a question. As long as we're talking about sex education in school, I'm a Generation Xer, okay? I grew up during the time where it was the arguments were about whether or not to teach sex education in schools. And the liberal argument then was, well, why don't you want to teach sex education in schools? You Republicans, you conservatives are so against abortion. Shouldn't we be teaching kids about contraceptives and sex so they won't get pregnant and there won't be as many abortions? Well, that didn't work because there's still plenty of abortions. And now it's just turned straight into, It's this narrative that this just happens. They have no idea how they got pregnant, right? And now everyone needs an abortion. You can't even back up to, okay, there are plenty of ways to prevent yourself from getting pregnant.
Well, you and I both know that that's ridiculous, and it has been a push for, I think I'm a generation before you. So I remember when they first introduced sex ed in schools, and it was, you know, kind of basic about puberty and things like that.
Sure.
And so with, you know, the thing with the birth control pill in particular is that, you know, you have to take it consistently and correctly every time.
Sure.
And I don't know teenagers that are consistent and correct on much anything. So,
right.
You know, we do see children that are children, and they are children, hello, that are on birth control do get pregnant because they're not, you know, capable of doing it the way it's properly done.
Sure.
But, you know, it's gotten so bad that we have 20 state chapters, as you mentioned, around the country. So our California PIE president, we know California is one of the most, it is the most liberal. Well,
yeah.
I don't know, Washington might be second. But anyway, he told me that there is a law proposed, there's a bill proposed in California that would make it legal for a woman to kill her baby as much as 3 weeks after birth.
Yes, I have heard this.
That is insane.
That's infanticide.
How is that not murder?
It's just been a slippery slope ever since Roe versus Wade. And here we are. Hey, let's talk about if a baby can be born and then we take its life. It's disgusting. We've reached this point. I think it's time to draw that line and say, okay, we're just getting rid of this once and for all, right? So here's another. This is another one from the Democrats that they've been using. Joy Behar, I believe, on The View. I never watch her, right? Because I like to keep what brain cells I have left about me. but she's saying that next, the Republicans are going to overturn Brown versus Board of Education. And I'm sitting here going, what are you even talking about? Like, there's so many arguments against this. I mean, first of all, it's just patently false and ridiculous, you know. Second, I'm thinking, okay, so Republicans literally want to protect children, okay, babies, life. And you think that somehow correlates to, we don't want children to be able to go to school with children of different colors. How is she even thinking this in her brain?
Yeah, I don't see any connection to that whatsoever, but I'm not surprised given the source. But I can tell you, I live in South Carolina, and Clarendon County in South Carolina is where the Brown versus Board of Education lawsuit was filed. And what's interesting about that, and I know this may be off topic for you, but they are still segregated in Clarendon County. In Clarendon County, the government schools have about, they have about 98% black children in the government schools, and all the white kids go to a private school.
Oh.
And we have several counties like that in South Carolina. But, you know.
So there's not a law. You're just saying it's like this de facto segregation?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You know, I've heard black folks that I admire talk about how integration actually hurt black students.
Really?
You know, and they really think that they were better off when they had their own schools and their own teachers. And, you know, I don't know why integration is always an issue for the left.
Race is always an issue for the left, but I, you know, I'm absolutely with Brown versus Board of Education. I'm absolutely for kids being able to go to whatever school they want to go to, no matter what their skin color is. My problem comes in with Democrats and the progressive left trying to take us back to that. Okay, graduations based upon your skin color or how you identify that month. Okay, safe spaces for kids of a darker skin tone, white people not allowed. I'm like, how in the world are people supposed to be able to get along to find common ground when you're immediately making each other the enemy? It did not work in pre-civil rights America. It does not work now. But progressives want to take us back to that. It's always about race with them. Always. And I got to tell you, if people are still hung up on skin color at this point, this late in the game, they're not going to make it in America.
What you just described, those activities, That violates the Civil Rights Act.
They don't care.
It's punishable. We had an incident here in South Carolina again, in one of the most conservative counties in our state. They had a luncheon for children of color, separated them by their ethnic groups,
And
the white children were not invited. They had a luncheon with a program speaker. So I forget the organization that's filing a lawsuit, but they are filing a lawsuit because it does violate the Civil Rights Act. And that's
right.
What we have to understand about madness on race, is we don't even need new laws to tackle this. There's
right.
a law in the books, been on the books since 1965, that says you cannot, judge based on the color of your skin.
That's part of my interview with Sherry Few. She is with United Parents Involved in Education. We're talking about Joy Behar's preposterous, it's too good of a word for her, stupid claim that Supreme Court is going to overturn Brown versus Board of Education. Sherry Few in on that discussion on the Steph Lucas Show. Welcome back. Got a couple minutes. Let's do sports and entertainment real fast here. Here's the latest. Fox News, Matt Napolitano.
Robert Griffin III drew headlines last month, taking part in Rich Eisen's Run Rich Run charity event for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital, among the several NFL legends to take part in the 40-yard dash to benefit the organization. The 32-year-old former NFL quarterback running a 4.48, a time most newbies to the league actually strive for, and the 32-year-old Griffin drew attention from NFL teams because of it, revealing on the Rich Eisen Show.
The phone blew up as soon as the time went public. Everybody was telling me, you're 32 years old. Why are you out there running 4.440s?
RG3 did note that there are a few teams he could see himself playing for, including the Chicago Bears, the Atlanta Falcons, and the Dallas Cowboys. Matt Napolitano, Fox News. Speaking to Sky Sports, Lee Westwood confirmed that he will look to take part in the Saudi-financed LIV Golf Invitational Series in London next month.
I put a release in with the PGA Tour and the European Tour, as many people have, so that's kind of the stage we're at the moment.
Westwood, a former world number one golfer and 11-time Ryder Cup participant, is one of only three golfers to publicly request a release from the PGA Tour, alongside Robert Garrigus and 6-time major champion Phil Mickelson. LIV Golf chairman Greg Norman says that the series, despite controversy over its Saudi connection, has received more than 200 registrations from players looking to be a part of the 48-player field in London. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
There's your update on sports. Let's move on to entertainment. I apologize in advance if you're sick and tired of this, but some people do want to hear about Amber Heard and the Johnny Depp defamation trial. Here's the latest from Fox.
Amber Heard, wearing a black blazer, minimal makeup, took the stand to detail her side of the story. Most of the time, she spoke highly about meeting Johnny Depp, being in awe, working alongside him, and how she felt when they were together.
I felt that, when I was around Johnny, I felt like the most beautiful person in the whole world. It made me feel seen, made me feel like $1 million.
Heard then spoke about the moment it changed when she made a comment about his Why No Forever tattoo, and she claimed he slapped her. Depp did not look at her during her testimony. His team wrapped up their case earlier in the week. Depp is suing over Heard's 2018 Washington Post op-ed on domestic abuse. Michelle Polino, Fox News.
There's your update in entertainment. Amber Heard takes the stand. Okay, so that's the 4 o'clock hour. 5 o'clock hour coming up. We have Chad Christensen. He is going to talk with us about a certain issue that has come up between himself and his opponent. We'll discuss that. Chad Christensen coming up on the Steph Lucas Show.